To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Instructions, handoff, cuts back against the grain, 15-10, gets through a second tackle, still on his feet, he's hard to bring down, he gets inside the 5, first and goal, Washington.
How about a little outside zone with the lead blocker, Logan?
Oh, man, I was having flashbacks there in my old days, right? That's so awesome to see, that's been a feature they brought in the last couple of weeks, and C-Rod runs that so well,
the Minnesota Vikings are one of the worst tackling teams in football. They miss a ton of tackles.
In London, they tackled a lot last yesterday. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Phone lines are open. What do you thinking after the most disappointing loss of the season? 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. It's 1 o'clock on AWOD Radio, which means it's time for the Richmond Commander.
It's time for the Richmond Commander.
Are you ready for some?
The phones are open. It's your chance to be the quarterback of this segment.
There's something I like to say.
Every day at 1 p.m. on AWOD Radio, the Richmond Commander.
Oh, boy. What do you want to talk about on the Richmond Commander? 833-804-0910. There's so many different ways we could go here. I'm going to start with why I argued for Jaden Daniels to play and why I will continue to argue for Jaden Daniels to play. Look, every NFL Commanders reporter will watch the film tonight or tomorrow, and they're all going to say the same thing that I saw, which is a quarterback that looked rusty. A quarterback that looked like a rookie. A quarterback that was missing open receivers. Like, we all have to say this. Jaden Daniels is not above criticism. He's not. He's the NFL's reigning Rookie of the Year. He will always have that Rookie of the Year trophy. But this is a sophomore slump, ladies and gentlemen. That's exactly what I'm watching. I'm going to tell you right now. Jaden Daniels needs to play because Jaden Daniels needs reps. It's as simple as that. He was off the mark on some of his throws, but to me, it's the footwork that looked like it took a step back. The timing looked like it took a step back. And really just his command of the offense took a step back. Like, I don't know how he did not identify the blitzer every single play and have a blitz beater ready. We see this every week from quarterbacks. All right, you get blitzed a lot, and then you take your sacks, and then eventually you bounce back because you start having a couple of hot routes ready, right? Mariota did this all of last week against the Denver Broncos. The entire game, there was pressure in his face, and he quickly got rid of it. Quick throw, quick throw, quick throw. That's what we did all of last season to have success. Where was that? Phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910 here on a Misery Monday. Let's go to Jason from Midlothian. What's up, Jason?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right.
Hey, listen. You know, I sit down and watched the game yesterday. A lot of this, Jaden does not look good at all. And I think they need to sit him. But my concern is, in the off season, they got to put him on a nutrition program or something, because I'm starting to think he's too frail to play this game. You got big boys in there that are 280, 290 that run as fast as he do. I don't think he can't stand that kind of penalty. He really can't. And it's also on Adam Peters. You've got to put some people in there to protect him, but Jason got to know when to protect himself also. I sit him down for the rest of the season, play Mariota, and then this offseason, spend the money we got, spend the capital, get a team around him. But I'm also hating to say, if this happens again next year, we may have to move on from Jason. I mean, we may have to move on from our quarterback, because this can't keep happening. I'll hang up and listen to what you got to say.
Yeah, good call, man. Love the passion and the energy, and you're right. Jaden needs to know the best ability is availability. And him chasing after a play in which he threw an awful interception and then gets himself hurt again is not his best ability. He needs to be available for this team. And I think the caller makes a great point, too, because I feel the same way. All right? If Jaden can't stay on the field next year, we might have to draft a new quarterback. Like, that's how bad this has gotten. I still believe in him. And I still think he needs to play because his reads have been awful this year. And I understand what the caller's saying. Like, I don't want to risk him an injury because he definitely needs a nutrition plan. Right? Like, he can't go into next year 6'4", 210. He needs to go into next year 6'4", 220 at least and show up with some more muscle and be able to protect himself more with that, because he does look injury prone when he gets hurt that often. I mean, this is not the first time now that this has happened this year, where he came back for a game, and that was the game he played. He came back for a game, and that was the game he played. That's the big problem right there, is not being able to stay in the lineup for consecutive weeks. That's a huge problem right there. A huge problem. Remember, he came back for the Chargers game. Played perfect. Nearly perfect. It was awesome in that game. Then the Bears game, he dropped the ball. Dallas game, he got hurt. He missed the Kansas City game. He came back against Seattle and did not look good. He looked rusty. And then in the fourth quarter against Seattle, he dislocated his elbow. And when he came back against Minnesota, he looked like a shell of himself. He looked like a guy that had not played football for a month, because he had not played football for a month. He just took a massive step back. And yet, I don't want this entire conversation to be about Jaden Daniels today and beating up on Jaden Daniels, because I'm still believing him to be the quarterback of the future. We need to do a better job protecting him, and we need to do a better job getting him more opportunities. He had one drive, right, in the first half for most of that, because our defense gave up a historic 12-minute drive. So, as much as I'm upset with the performance from Jaden Daniels, let me get out some of my frustration with Dan Quinn and his god-awful defense the way they played yesterday. They couldn't stop a run. They couldn't stop a throw. Oh, my goodness, Minnesota Vikings, Kevin O'Connell had himself a day as a play caller. Had himself a day. The Vikings had an incredible amount of third down success. 6 of 11. But at one point, they were, I think, 6 of 6 or 5 of 5. And these third down plays, they were just basically poking holes in our garbage defense. That's what they were doing, right? Because these were third and sixes. And J.J. McCarthy would scramble up the middle for 7 yards, right? And then they would have a third and nine. And Jalen Naylor would just run a 10-yard out route. Why? Because our dumb defense is playing 10 yards off on a third and nine. Make that make sense, Dan. Make that make sense, Dan Quinn, when you talk today at 3:30. Tell me why your defense is playing 10 yards back on a third and nine. And then third and eight, J.J. McCarthy to Jordan Addison, wide open for 21 yards. Wide freaking open. And then the one that made me so upset the most was Third and 12 to J.J. McCarthy, and everybody that's watching this game saw the way it played out. Washington dropped back in the zone because they can't play man-to-man because we're not talented enough to play man-to-man. So everybody knows we're playing a zone, and we drop back, and it's third and 12. And we drop back 13 yards, and they dump it off to Justin Jefferson, who was basically an extension of the screen game because they had their tight end and offensive lineman getting upfield to block in front of Bobby Wagner, and he got 13 yards on third and 12. The Minnesota Vikings beat us. They beat our game plan. They beat our schemes. They beat our quarterback. They beat our coach. That was the first time in a while where Dan Quinn got outcoached on all three levels. Outcoached on offense, defense, and special teams. Like their offensive coordinator, Kevin O'Connell, ran circles around Dan Quinn's defense. He said, look, I know you don't have the pass rushers to get to J.J. McCarthy. I know you don't dare play man-to-man against Justin Jefferson. All week long, we are going to prepare to have zone beaters. And they beat our zone like it was the worst 2-3 defense in basketball. Right? We were giving them open looks over and over and over again. There was no pressure. Like, no pressure. They ran zone beaters up the middle. All right, we're going to have our tight end go up the seam. And Mikey Sanders, you're not going to get there in time because you don't even know how to guard your zone. Mikey Sanders still looks like he's taking a massive step back this year. Frankie Louvu looked terrible. Bobby Wagner looks slow because he is slow because that's how old he is, and he should not be playing 100% of the snaps. Nobody looked good on defense. Barely anybody looked good on offense. Just a blowout. Just a blowout. Phone lines are open, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We continue a Misery Monday on AWOD Radio.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Have we beaten this dead horse enough? Should we keep talking Commanders? Well, phone lines are open. If you want to get in your Jaden take, your thoughts on Dan Quinn and the awful, terrible, just embarrassingly bad Commander season, give us your thoughts. 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. Call AWOD. 833-804-0910. I mean, Jay Money, what do you think? I could certainly get myself juiced up again to talk Commanders in the 2 o'clock hour. I feel like we burned, most of the conversation today in terms of his injury, the awful performance by the defense. I mean, it was just here's the thing that frustrates me the most is that I wanted to turn the game off at halftime. I wanted to turn the game off in the third quarter. I looked at my friend who was watching the game with me, and he said, I can't believe there's 10 freaking minutes left. I want this game to end. It was like watching a funeral. It was that bad. And it was just, there was nothing good about the entire performance except for that opening drive. And like I said, usually in the NFL, something flips back, right? Something flips back. Something happens in which you can flip the momentum into your favor. That just didn't happen. And so, like, I'm mad at Jaden's performance probably most off because the one thing I wanted to see was good quarterback play, right? Everything I saw last week, the fight, the effort, losing in overtime, still getting a good draft pick, McLaurin making plays. I just wanted to see better quarterback play. That's what I'm looking for. I didn't get that at all from Jaden Daniels or even Marcus Mariota when he came in. Kind of seemed like it even got worse. It was just awful from start to finish. Phone lines are open, 833-804-0910 here on another Misery Monday. Let's go to John in Richmond, line one. What's up, John?
Hey, Adam. Man, I share everything that you are saying. I woke up this morning and I tried to think of one positive thing, just one, out of what I'm expecting from the rest of the year, and I can't think of one positive thing. I am so frustrated. I want to take all my Redskin Commander Washington gear, put it in a bonfire, and light it on fire, man. I'm just beside myself.
Yeah. It made me hate the National Football League. Like, I wanted to just throw away the sport with how bad we were.
I know. And you know what else? I wish that DQ could afford a fitted hat. I'm so tired of seeing that daggone button, those, you know, adjustable hat on the front of his face. I'd like to see him put on a fitted cap so he looks a little more dressed up.
You're not the only one that says that. It's just, it's gotten to the point where I don't want to look and listen to Dan Quinn anymore. Like, I really do respect him. And compared to Ron Rivera, his press conferences got me fired up. Today at 3:30, I will listen to him for my job, but I know it's going to be a bunch of baloney that I don't want to hear.
Yeah. Hey, you know, Ben Johnson was a smart guy. He kind of, he knew, I think, what, after he studied the Skins and after he studied what our roster was about, he knew what was going to happen. I think he's really a smarter guy than we give him credit for.
Yeah.
And that's why he turned that plane around and decided to go to Chicago, because they've got a good defense, and now they're putting together a good offense. And, man, it's frustrating, because I look at next year and I'm saying, we've got so many holes to fill, there's no way you can do it in a year.
Right.
It's going to take 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. And last year it felt like we had all the pieces that we put our chips in, all in for this year to be a Super Bowl contender. And it did not work out at all. Good call, John. I appreciate you chiming in. And yet, I don't blame them for the moves they made this offseason, because I don't think last year was a fluke. I don't think last year was a fluke. All right? I'm going to keep saying that. Last year was not a fluke. I watched it with my own eyes. A team that was good on offense, a defense that fought hard for their coach, fought hard for their coordinator. I watched a football season in which the ball bounced our way. I don't think that was fluky. I don't think Cliff Kingsbury got lucky with his play calling last year. I don't think it was a fluky to go to Detroit and whoop up on a 15-win Detroit Lions team. I think one thing is true, though. Every single season in the National Football League is a brand new season. It's a new chapter and a new book on a new life. That's what we're dealing with. We need to stop talking about last year. Not that it was fluky, but there's no continuation from year to year in the National Football League. Tom Brady said that. Every year is a new animal. You got to find a way to tame it. What do we see this year? A huge step back. Next year might be different. I think that's the only way to look at this optimistically, right? Is that last year was successful, this year was a failure. Maybe we get back to having success again. But there are 15 holes out of 22 starting players, it feels like. And now we lost our tight end. I wanted him gone, but I respect Zach Ertz, and I didn't want to see him get lost for a season and maybe for his career on a play that wasn't even flagged, right? A play that wasn't even flagged, we lost our tight end. What about that guy that knocked Jaden out? He didn't need to touch Jaden. They don't care about us. They don't care about how we feel. They put Jaden on his ass, probably dislocated his elbow again. I mean, what are we going to hear from Dan Quinn at 3:30? Yeah, we were concerned that Jaden dislocated his elbow again, so we held him out. Question from John Keim. If there was a chance that he was going to dislocate his elbow, why did you play him? Well, he was medically cleared, John. No. Answer the question, though. If you knew there was a chance that he was going to land on that elbow and get hurt again, why did you play him? Why was he medically cleared then? Why, unlike previous times, did they not hold him out because he was not full of practice all week long? I don't think he should have played in this game. He should have been practiced full all week long and then made his return, because it looked like he didn't have a week of practice. It looked like a guy got hurt a month ago and then just put his jersey back on and ran around there looking to have fun. I had zero fun watching that performance. Throws an interception. Here's the other thing. Why are we running a screen pass on 4th and 2 in that situation there that led to him getting hurt? Everything that we did in this game, their defense coordinator was a step ahead. It was the complete opposite of last week when I thought Cliff Kingsbury was a step ahead. Sometimes that happens in the NFL, but it cannot happen consistently, as it has this season, as this team has lost 8 in a row, and most of those losses have been blowouts. I'm still in favor of Dan Quinn getting an opportunity to turn this around next year, but he needs to turn something around in the final 4 games to keep his job. I'm going to tell you, if this team finishes 3-14, I find it highly unlikely that Dan Quinn sticks around. When you have a defense that's historically bad, when you lose at a historic rate with these losses in a row and all of them being blowouts, we haven't seen that in the NFL in years, it's going to be hard for him to keep his job. It's going to be hard. And what I watched yesterday was the players not caring if Dan Quinn getting fired, right? Because I thought in that Dolphins game, they played for Dan Quinn. I thought in the Broncos game, they're like, we are playing for Dan Quinn. We want to help him keep his job. That's not what it's all against Minnesota. Those were two teams that were going nowhere, and yet one of them showed up for their coach, and the other team no-showed for an entire game. Worst loss of the season here on the 10th Misery Monday of the year. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having 4 kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. not just a Misery Monday for Commanders fans, Misery Monday for fans of the UVA Cavaliers. And I've been riding with the Cavs all season long. Such a fan of quarterback Chandler Morris. I love the way Coach Tony Elliott navigated through the tragedy just a few years ago and got his team to the mountaintop of the ACC championship game. And so many things went against UVA in that game, including the final play, and they lose in overtime. And so when we had Dave Riggert on last week, who's the voice of the James Madison Dukes, we were talking about that UVA game being the biggest game in UVA history, but also the biggest game in JMU history, because a Duke win got the JMU Dukes in, as we recap the college football action here on University Drive.
Let's go to University Drive. Scores, rivalries, rankings, all the college football in the state of Virginia. We'll follow the action all season long.
Oh, yeah!
University Drive on AWOD Radio.
All right, if you are a fan of Vanderbilt, if you are a fan of the Texas Longhorns, and if you are a fan of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, now is your chance to call in. 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. Call in, state your case, and then I'll tell you why you're wrong and the committee got it right. I have not been a fan of this committee. I even think that the leader of the committee, the voice of the committee, is the stupidest person on the committee. And he did not know how to answer the questions correctly. But that doesn't mean that the process was not correct and the playoffs were not correct. They were. This is exactly the way it should have played out. This is what happened. Alabama lost in the SEC title game. When you lose in a title game, I don't think you can be penalized for losing in a title game. Then you have to look at, well, what title game was it? All right? The SEC is the best conference in football. You're not penalizing them for losing the SEC title game. The Big Ten title game, they're the second best conference in football. The Big 12 title game and the ACC title game are even. Yeah, if you lose that game, you're done. You're screwed. Your season's over. So sorry, BYU, and sorry, UVA. And so with the BYU loss, that pit, Miami and Notre Dame right next to each other, head-to-head, to decide who would get the final spot in the college football playoffs. And who won the head-to-head? It just so happens that the two teams that the committee was arguing about who should take the final spot available in this year's college football playoffs actually played against each other. So it turns out we didn't need the committee. We didn't need their rules. We didn't need their explanation. Head-to-head is all we needed the entire time. That's how you rank a team when they're right next to each other. Did they play head-to-head? Yes. Who won? Miami. You're in. It's as simple as that. Now, you could argue they should have had Miami over Notre Dame last week. Yes, I agree. The only reason they didn't is because there were still games to be played, and they were hoping it would not get to that point, right? They were hoping that a BYU would win. All right, then we don't have to have this discussion. They were hoping that a UVA would win, and then we don't have to have the discussion about getting a second G5 team in. But the way the games played and the outcomes, this was the correct answer. Indiana won the Big Ten. They moved to number one. Ohio State lost the Big Ten. They moved from one to two. It was correct to not move Ohio State further. Georgia won the SEC championship. Texas Tech won the Big 12 championship. Oregon comes in at five. Ole Miss at six. Texas A&M at seven. Oklahoma at eight. Alabama at 10-3. Does not move down a slot for losing the championship game. That's the correct way to handle this. I think this is what they've set up here as a precedent moving forward. When you play in your championship game, you get credit for that, right? At the end of the season, when we look back, all the teams that are in conferences, it will say -, right? Because they had an opportunity to make their championship game and they didn't based on their record. Notre Dame does not have that opportunity. It's NA. They don't have that opportunity. So going into championship weekend, they have nothing that can help themselves. In fact, they got hurt by the outcomes of the weekend. If you're a Notre Dame fan, a Texas fan, Vanderbilt, BYU, Utah, USC, I understand why you were upset. I'll tell you, The committee got it right. Phone lines are open, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. Let's go to Robert in Glen Allen. Robert, you're on the fan with AWOD.
Hey, Adam. Man, what a weekend, right, in sports. I mean, crazy. But I'm not sure 100% of what you said, but as far as Miami getting included, but if UVA, you know, wins, of course we don't have this discussion, but I believe they took Miami and hopped them over Notre Dame just so the ACC could have a team in the tournament. That's what they did. All things equal, I think if UVA wins, Notre Dame stays in. I think UVA not being included, they wanted to put an ACC team in there, and they had to answer to, Power Four conference, and they got them in there. And that's what I believe on that. And then as far as Jaden Daniels goes, I mean, what are you thinking? You know, I mean, it takes one thing, but he's just got to be smarter than that. And he's just not. He's a gamer, wants to play, and wants to make up for a mistake, and it's going to re-aggravate that shoulder and just not good.
So, Robert, let's go through the college football playoff discussion here. I see what you're saying about the ACC getting included. I think it was more punishing Notre Dame for not being in a conference.
I mean, everybody already knew that, and they already had them ahead of them, even though they beat them head-to-head the whole time.
Yeah.
So the only explanation is they wanted ACC representation in the college football playoff. That is the only explanation that I can make sense.
See, I actually think that, what is his name, Hunter Yurachek, I actually think he was honest, and he got it right, and here was his explanation, all right? That coming into this, it was Alabama, Notre Dame, BYU, and Miami. And BYU was between the two schools. And when BYU lost, that eliminated the one-team gap. And so at that point, with all the games said and done and played, and your outcomes are final, if you have Miami and Notre Dame head-to-head next to each other, then you had to look at head-to-head. What they basically were saying was...
I heard him saying that. I watched him say it. But at the end of the day, that's all fine, but Miami should have been ahead of Notre Dame the entire time. And then when they squeeze back up together, Miami still outclasses them. It makes no sense why they were ahead of them the whole time anyway. That doesn't explain that.
No, it does, I think, in my mind here, because if basically the committee is saying, we don't look to head-to-head unless they are right next to each other and they're going up against each other. They had Notre Dame in the same pot as an Alabama and a BYU and Miami just behind them, right? And so that's, I think, what it came down to is once they got head-to-head against each other, but we're both arguing that the committee got it correct, right? We're just arguing about their process.
I agree, but I think their reason, I think we're disagreeing on their reasoning.
Yeah.
I think the reasoning is not BYU, it's that the ACC got a team in there, and I think that's what they're... Like that was their objective after UVA crapped out.
Would you be more upset if Notre Dame had gotten in for Alabama?
I would be okay with Notre Dame getting in over Alabama. Alabama had three losses. They lost to Florida State. So they have like literally probably one of the worst losses of all the teams' resumes. On the whole thing, out of all 16 teams, all 12 teams, they may have the worst loss of all 12 teams.
Yes,
got a worse loss.
But it's still a P4 loss. You know, that's the way I would look at it. So, to me, I don't mind that at all. And I don't consider this a 10-3 Alabama team. I hate that line of thinking. This is a 10-2 Alabama team that is 0-1 in championship games.
They're going to get rocked in the playoffs, I think.
Well, they've got an interesting matchup. It will be Oklahoma against Alabama, yeah. Which was one of the best games of the season. So I think the committee got it right. We can argue about their process, and I understand the argument because it kind of made the Tuesday TV show absolutely meaningless, right? Because every week they had Notre Dame above Miami.
I agree.
Yeah.
So go Green Wave. That's all I have to say at this point. I'm reduced to that. So
yeah.
Go Green Wave.
Well, that's the other thing is I'm glad you didn't call in to argue that Tulane or JMU should be held out because, look, the G5 needs to be included. They absolutely do. And the way the rules are set, it just so happens that the G5 got two teams in. Well, I think they deserve to get two teams in this year.
I 100% agree. And my worry is that they I don't think Tulane's going to get blown out, and I actually hope JMU does well out in Oregon. But if they get blown out, who was it a couple years ago that got in? That just got destroyed. I can't remember the team that got in a couple years ago.
But it would be a bad look for sure. Yeah,
I hope that's not the case. And then they go, hey, we got to go school with the top 12 teams in the country, because then that discounts the regular season, right? So.
Yeah.
That's why you keep these G5 teams in there. They all deserve a shot. And NIL, they're all getting better every year. They're not getting worse. They're getting better.
Yep. Good call, Robert. I appreciate you chiming in. One last thing here about the rankings. I want everybody to look at the college football standings across the board. All right? Across the board, the college football standings. Any FBS team needs to be included. Any FBS team. And pull up every conference and every standings. All right? And tell me the teams that have one loss. It's JMU, right? Like, Georgia, of course, one loss, Ole Miss. Every team with one loss is in. That's why JMU absolutely needs to be in. There's no question about that. 12-1 overall. That's a one-loss team, all right? You can't find other one-loss teams that are not included. They're all included. Every single overall one-loss team. Texas Tech, one-loss team. Indiana undefeated. Ohio State, one-loss team. Oregon, one-loss team. There was no reason to have ever decided to hold out JMU for a Duke, or for a Mountain West team. Oh, are you kidding me? No. JMU deserved to be in. I hate that they got in because UVA lost, because I wanted both teams to get in, but Tulane earned their spot as well with their season they played. They actually have a victory over Duke as well, so it kind of really did come down to Duke helping other teams out. So I'll give you my thoughts on UVA losing and where this sets them up moving forward. Just a massive missed opportunity for the Hoos to get a ton of NIL revenue moving forward. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. You know, late Friday night after we saw JMU defeat Troy to win the Sun Belt Championship, it felt like we were guaranteed to wake up on Monday knowing that a team from the state of Virginia was included in the college football playoffs. And personally, I was rooting for it to be UVA. I love Chandler Morris and his story of transferring back into a P4 level after having the success he had last year at the G5 level, and he had a terrific season. And if he doesn't get hurt, they might, you know, have only had one loss. They probably should have been undefeated in the regular season because they blew the NC State game. But then, man, did they have a bad performance in the ACC championship game there, as Duke looked like a team that was more inspired. Duke looked like a team that wanted it more. And, Jeremy, did you watch the game?
Of course I watched the game.
How much did the momentum flip early in that game? I think that game was decided with basically Duke getting into the end zone on that first drive when they had the field goal, right? I mean, UVA screwed themselves there so badly. It's so disappointing.
The big takeaway for me was how effective they were on fourth down early in that game, and you saw it late in the game. They scored their game-winning touchdown on fourth down as well.
Yeah.
I thought they were dominating, and then that last drive happened, and I was like, that's just the classic Cavaliers, right? The Hoos, the cardiac Cavs, they find a way to win in overtime every single time. And then it worked out for Duke in the end. That fourth down, again, conversion in the end zone was huge for them. They were just clutch in every sense of the word right there.
Yeah, I mean, look, UVA got off the field on third down. Penalty got them back onto the field, and Duke converts. And like you said, on fourth down they converted. And on the final play of the game, basically, before UVA got the ball back, they converted. It was a fourth down play. And I just thought, man, I thought the defense from UVA was going to escape there, and then they were going to go win it, just like they had all season long. But, you know, coming into this game, I said Chandler Morris can win you this game, but his gunslinger mentality can lose you this game. I love Chandler Morris so much. I know he wants that throwback. I know the play caller wants the playback. I understand going for a trick play was not the right moment in the game. It was terrible execution, and Morris should have never let the rock leave his hand. As Duke picks it off, Duke wins the ACC, and the JMU Dukes get into the college football playoffs. Congratulations to JMU. They will travel to Eugene, Oregon to take on the Ducks. Dave Rigger is the play-by-play voice of the James Madison Dukes. He'll join us in less than an hour. He'll join us at 2:30 today. Talk about Selection Sunday. JMU getting included in previewing their college football playoff matchup. And then the other discussion here for college football playoffs has to be Notre Dame's decision when they were held out to not play in a bowl game. Jeremy and I were discussing this during the break. What do we think was the correct way to handle this, Jeremy?
You just got to take your bowl game. You got to play. You have to show that you're arguably one of the six teams in the nation that can lift the trophy at the end of the year and just blow out whoever you've got to play. You can't just, like Feinbaum was saying, take your ball and leave like a kid. It's really disgraceful. And honestly, this is something that's going to leave a mark on the sport. Like Christian McCaffrey sitting out of the bowl game early on, it starts a trend when you look at these big names that can do it. Everyone else is going to start to do it too.
Yeah. Notre Dame, the correct way to handle this would have been to take their bowl game, to prepare for that bowl game, to light up an opposition, look like the best team on planet Earth, and then, I don't know, maybe take out a front page ad in the Post and you say, screw Hunter, you're checking the committee. Look at what we did, right? You had a chance to put pie in the committee's face with a blowout win in your bowl game. Instead, you took your ball and you went home. I did that once as a kid. You know what? I never played with those kids anymore because they thought I was a loser for doing that. That was a loser move by Notre Dame. That's what that was. You know what they should have done? They should have called the ACC and said, all right, we're committing to your conference. We'll play in your championship game next year if we can be included.
Yeah.
It should have been Notre Dame against UVA.
It should have been. It should have been Notre Dame in that conference championship, and I think there's going to be some serious discussions. We're going to talk about teams changing the rules. Notre Dame's going to try and change it so they've locked in and they're not punished, but it's going to be changed for the conferences so they're protected more because, like you said last segment, people are angry that there's two Group of Five schools in there that Notre Dame missed, that Vanderbilt missed, and there's two Group of Five schools in right now.
I know, and that's what I think pisses me off about the same thing. We cannot be that kind of a society, all right? We are a society full of complainers, all right? But the complaints here, to me, they fall on deaf ears. The committee did this right. Finally, they got it right. This is the way the outcomes played out. We got two G5 schools in. Notre Dame didn't need to be included because they lost to Miami. They lost that head-to-head game. If they beat Miami, they are included. It's as simple as that. And that's what frustrates me is, yeah, there is an outroar of Miami fans, Texas fans, Vandy fans. Shut up! I don't care. The committee got this right. And so I hate this. That Jeremy's probably right. They're probably going to change things in the future moving forward because of this outcome that was correct. This was the right way to rank the teams and have this bracket play out. This was correct, and we should not change anything because we got two G5 schools in. Well, then maybe UVA should just beat Duke. Or maybe Duke shouldn't have lost to UConn and Tulane, and they would have been in. The way this played out was correct. And I hate that people are going to complain and the committee's probably going to listen and probably change things moving forward to help out the bigger dogs because that's who pays them. Let's go to the phone lines, 833-804-0910. We've got Chris in Richmond. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how's it going? Long-time listener, first-time caller.
What'd you call about today, Chris?
Hey, I was just going to make a statement. I'd love to hear you guys kind of debate it back and forth. But, you know, I'm hearing you guys kind of talk about Notre Dame and then not necessarily, you know, having to join a conference would have let them in, but like, what about the take on Miami not even playing in their championship game? Is that an ACC issue? And furthermore, how does an Alabama make it over Notre Dame and BYU? And then the last bit there, and I'll let you guys talk about it. Like, follow the money a little bit, right? Like, so five SEC teams in this championship, look how much money gets spread out between the entire conference, and I don't know, it's a little fishy, but I'd love to hear you guys' take on that.
So do you want to hang up and listen, or can we go back and forth here? Because I think I can answer these questions.
Happy to go back and forth.
All right, so let's start with Alabama. You cannot set the precedent that you are going to slide a team down the standings for losing a championship game, especially against a team you already beat. right? So I understand BYU got screwed for losing their championship game. They were like the 11th. They were probably the last team that was going to get in, and if they won their game, they would have been guaranteed a spot. But they lost to Texas Tech the second time this year. That's the difference. If Alabama had lost to Georgia and had lost to Georgia twice, they would have been eliminated from this. I think that's why I said earlier, I don't view this as an Alabama team that's 10-3. This is an Alabama team that's 10-2 and 0-1 in a championship game. I'm not punishing them for that.
What about in the last, 15 years, though, if you look at anybody who has lost in the conference game has slid? Ohio State slid, BYU slid this year, Virginia slid, North Texas, SMU, Penn State, Iowa State, Texas, Iowa. Like, this is the first time in, 15 years we haven't seen someone actually lose a spot for losing a conference championship.
Right, and my take is Alabama had one of the most impressive wins of this season already, right? They won at Georgia, and we just saw how good Georgia is. I think that's what it comes down to, is Alabama's resume and SEC bias. Like, there's SEC bias for sure. You were talking about that earlier, and yet I think it's correct because I do think the SEC is the best conference in football and probably deserves to get a guarantee four teams in and maybe a fifth team every year.
I would disagree if we're going to wait at five teams. I mean, last year, let's look at Notre Dame and their run to the Natty. They took out the SEC championship. They took out basically everyone on the way there. I mean, like, you're going to just discredit Notre Dame or someone who's independent in general, let's say someone else makes it, to make that run every time, especially with, Vegas giving us odds this year, right? So, wasn't that Saban thing, 3 years ago? Look at how we're stacking up against everybody. I just felt like the committee, we had a team. Notre Dame had a team to go out there and compete for a national championship, more so than a lot of people in that. I would put Notre Dame as probably the third best team in the country right now with how they're playing. And they missed the mark. And I it's just hard for me to fully believe that Notre Dame's sitting at home and that they dropped in rankings like they did, and Alabama gets to stay where they are. Now, do I think Miami should be in there? Absolutely. I'm not going to sit here and argue that. I think Miami deserves to be in there.
Yeah.
But I'm also have beef with the ACC, man. I mean, what's going on there? I mean, they should be penalized for stupid tiebreakers.
Yeah, the tiebreaker at the ACC needs to be changed immediately. It's so stupid. They should have had Georgia Tech or Miami or SMU over Duke. Duke was pathetic this year with some of their out-of-conference losses, like Tulane. Tulane was going to begin over JMU because they had beaten Duke, and it's like, you beat who? You beat a lousy football team. So the ACC screwed themselves, and they know this. That's why on Saturday they were promoting that a Duke win should get them in. I'm glad the committee didn't back that up because that would have been phony. Right? And so could say maybe there's bias that Miami got in because they're an ACC team and they wanted an ACC team in there to make it a true P4, all getting representative. My whole thing with Alabama is that they played the toughest schedule, and the committee looks at the strength of schedule and they look at the 7-1 in conference play and they're like, wow, that's amazing in a conference that has Oklahoma and Alabama and A&M and Ole Miss. I mean, look at the current top 10. Four of them are in the SEC. And so, the argument for Notre Dame, it just comes down to you should have beaten Miami. I mean, that's not a good team.
Yeah, a freshman quarterback on the road by three. I thought we did great. I think we lost that play at that halftime touchdown that we gave up. We went for the interception instead of the body, right? We didn't go for the ball. Went for the body, and the guy was able to catch that. And I think, if you watch that game over and over again, it's not Jordan. It's not Love's fault that he's unable to not get the ball. It was an offensive scheme. So, here's my last question. You said earlier, and then I'll let you guys go, about Notre Dame having to join a conference, and this goes away. I mean, I would argue that Miami wasn't even a conference championship, but they get to go, and there's other people that get to go at large bids and get to go. But I guess my question is it's more of a statement. Notre Dame, when football started in 1887, no one will let us into their conference. That was the whole thing. We had to travel the whole United States. That's why we play USC. That's why we're able to play the top teams in the country to stay relevant. And now everyone wants us to join the conference built on a system that kept us outside of it. So I hope we don't join a conference. I hope we continue to play the way we want to. I love our independent status. If that means years like this happen, fine, whatever. We'll let them pay. The SEC will pay whatever they want to pay. But that's just my take on it. I don't see us sitting in any conferences because those teams don't want us in those conferences.
Yeah.
And we're going to stay independent.
Look, I think Notre Dame, if they had gotten in, probably would have advanced to at least the semifinals. And yet the system is set up, and so that JMU got that spot because they are one of the top five conference champions. That's why I ask about the conference. But then my other thing would just be, like, in most seasons, a 10-2 team doesn't really belong. Like, you guys needed to have one loss, especially if you're not playing in a conference. Like, you pick your own schedule. You got to have one loss.
Yeah, that Texas A&M game, that really bit us, that one play.
Yeah.
But, hey, I appreciate it. Long-time listener. I listen to you guys all day. I really appreciate you taking my call, man, and having this talk.
Yep, I appreciate you chiming in. I love that we can argue about this. And, look, we understand. I like that this is an argument because it's 12 teams. It's not four anymore. And maybe they're going to extend it to 16, and it's going to be even more fun. But this argument, it's got more eyes on college football, and I'm for that.
I'm for that, too. I'm heartbroken, but I'm for it, too. All right, cheers, man.
All right, man, happy holidays. Thanks for chiming in. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.